And the man who handed the budget down, New South Wales Treasurer Matt Keane, is on the line. Good morning, Treasurer.
Richard, good morning to you and your listeners.
Very busy day for you, and it's been a busy couple of weeks. The focus, families, women, first home buyers. You've described it as a once-in-a-generation reform budget for the people of New South Wales. And obviously, you're very optimistic, as Chris Minns pointed out, you know, $11.3 billion the deficit, but you're hoping things turn around and improve, obviously.
Richard, we are optimistic. We're optimistic because we're reforming to give our kids the best start in life. We're reforming to ensure that first homeowners can enter the property market. And we're reforming to ensure that women are able to participate more fully in our economy. So there's a lot to be optimistic about. And in doing so, we're also returning to surplus exactly when we said we would. We said that we'd deliver a surplus in the year 24-25. That's what we're doing. And the following year, we'll deliver a $1.4 billion surplus. And that's what happens when you manage the state's finances responsibly and grow the economy well.
Lessons learned from the federal election, which is only going back a few weeks now, have obviously had a big impact on planning for this budget.
Well, I think Liberal governments are at their best when they're focusing on creating opportunities for people to realise their hopes and aspirations. And that's what we're doing here. That's why we've announced a plan to invest in childcare across New South Wales, because we know one of the biggest barriers for women entering the workforce is the lack of affordable, accessible childcare around this state. And we want to make sure that we're supporting women who want to don't want to have to choose between having a career and having a family. That's one of the big initiatives. We know that home ownership is a way to unlock wealth for millions of people across this country. So we want to make it as easy as possible for young people to be able to enter the housing market. And that's why we've announced big reforms to remove things like stamp duty and make it easier for people to get into the housing market. We're a reforming government. We've got a clear vision to build a brighter and more prosperous future for everyone in New South Wales. And that's exactly what the budget did yesterday.
Right. Well, just on the home ownership, you've announced that home buyers will be given a choice between paying stamp duty or an annual property tax. How exactly will that work, and when will it come into effect?
Well, let me tell you how it'll work. If you're buying an average property worth around $800,000, you currently pay about $30,000 in stamp duty. Under our reforms, the upfront cost will only be about $1,100. So that removes a huge barrier and enables young people to enter the housing market far sooner than they otherwise would have. So this is what good governments do. They look at opportunities to create to get people into the housing market, to help them own their own part of the great Australian dream, and that's what this budget did yesterday.
Public and Catholic school teachers going on strike next Thursday for 24 hours. They're not happy with the 3% pay increase. You've said the wage increase is one of the most generous in the country, and that this strike next Thursday has nothing to do with money and has everything to do with politics. What exactly did you mean by that?
Well, what I mean is that we've just delivered one of the most generous public sector pay increases anywhere in the country. I mean, compare it to Victoria. The Victorian Labor government only offered their teachers a 1.5% pay increase. So the teachers' union up here in New South Wales is protesting against our 3% pay rise, but they're not marching in the street or striking down in Victoria where they've only been offered 1.5%. So this shows that it's got nothing to do with pay and it's got everything to do with politics.
Mm. But the Premier, has the Premier met with the union recently?
We continue to work with our public sector unions because we want to make sure that we recognise the hard work of our public servants, but at the same time manage the state's finances responsibly. And that's exactly what we're doing. We feel we've got the balance right here. We've given one of the most generous public sector pay increases anywhere in the country. And as I said earlier, the same unions that are protesting about our generous 3% pay increase, they're not protesting against the Labor government in Victoria, who only offered 1.5%. So it just shows it's more about politics and less about pay.
This being a talkback program and taking calls and emails from all sorts of different people, certainly the hot topic this week has been the proposed flagpole on top of the Sydney Harbour Bridge, $25 million. Look, a lot of people are gobsmacked about the cost, how long it will take, and given that, you know, we've now got a budget deficit of, $11.3 billion, how do we justify $25 million for a flagpole?
Well, I think the first thing I'd say is that this is an important initiative. We want to see the Indigenous flag flying above the Harbour Bridge, and it is not a small task that we're undertaking. The flagpole is about the size of a six-storey building, and we're not just putting one flagpole up, we're putting three flagpoles up, and there's a number of electrical adjustments that need to be made at the top because there's a beacon right up there. And just don't forget, Richard, this is also above the busiest road anywhere in the country, so we need to make sure it's done properly. But that said, you know, we've got to be careful with how we spend taxpayers' money. I've asked, or the Premier's asked Transport to come back with a revised costing of that project. That's exactly what will happen. And again, we want to make sure we deliver great outcomes, but do it in a way that protects taxpayers' dollars. And that's what will happen here.
The plan from your government was for all cab drivers. And look, I get a lot of cab drivers that ring the program and email the program. Cab licences were due to be handed back this year, and there was some form of compensation might be paid out. No mention of that in the budget yesterday, Treasurer.
Well, the government has a compensation scheme for taxi plate licences. We continue to work with the industry through that, but we've laid out our plans for the future of this state in our budget yesterday, and that's a very clear plan to underwrite a more successful and more prosperous future for everyone in New South Wales.
Right. Mining royalties, nobody would deny the fact that they're an important income stream for certainly the New South Wales government. Queensland have decided to up the royalties. You didn't in New South Wales. For what reason? I mean, it's stayed pretty well the same for quite some time now.
Well, because we want to be a low-taxing government. We want to support industry, we want to support investment, and we want to build a stronger economy. And that's not the way you do that, is not by raising taxes. So while Queensland wants to tax their way to the future, we don't want to do that here in New South Wales. We've actually cut taxes, but we've done it in a way that's financially responsible. And because of the tax cuts that we've delivered here over the last 10 years of the coalition government, we've actually grown the overall size of the economy, which is exactly how we're able to deliver these programs and spending initiatives, which will actually invest in building a stronger and more prosperous state in the future.
You've very much been at the forefront of this transition to renewables. Peter Dutton, now our opposition leader, says that, well, certainly with reference to the federal government, they're showing undue haste with this move to renewables. We have an energy crisis at the moment. Do you think that, we're being a little bit hasty with this shift to renewables?
Richard, what we do know is that we're relying on old equipment to power our energy system, and it's becoming less and less reliable. We saw that only last week. So what we need to do is replace that old infrastructure in a responsible way that drives down energy prices and underwrites a new era for this state. Now, we've got a plan to do exactly that. It's a measured plan, private sector investment into New South Wales and modernise our electricity. That plan is being delivered at the moment. It will see $32 billion of private capital being injected into the system, building the generation, bridge, the firming and the transmission we need to keep the lights on, drive, and set us up for a brighter future.
Somebody might be trying to wind us up here. I'm getting a little bit of interference. But look, quickly, and one that's more of a local one for certainly Newcastle and the Hunter Valley, the Nationals at their conference last week voted to split up the Hunter New England Health District and divide it into, back to what it was prior to, I think, 2005, the Hunter and then New England. Do you think there might be a move towards breaking these things up and a bit more decentralisation? I think the argument is from the Nationals, all the decision-making is really focused on Newcastle because the area goes right up to the Queensland border, and that's sort of ignoring the importance of major regional hospitals in the north of the state. Do you think we might see a move back to decentralising things like health districts?
Well, let me tell you what we will see a move in when it comes to health, and that's record investment in frontline services. That's why we've announced whether you live in the cities or the bush, you should be able to access the best healthcare. We've invested in having over 10,000 new staff enter our health system to make sure that everyone can get the healthcare that they need when they need it. And that's exactly what this budget delivers.
Blowouts in the metro have seen a decision on your part to maybe put on the back burner some major infrastructure projects, focusing more on some of the smaller ones. Nothing there for the Newcastle Light Rail extension, Treasurer.
Well, what we have done is make sure that we're investing in fast rail between Newcastle, the Central Coast and Sydney. We want to make sure we're improving the commute for Hunter residents, Central Coast residents, and deliver great outcomes. That's exactly what this budget delivers. But again, we've had to make decisions around our infrastructure pipeline. There's obviously capacity constraints at the moment. So we need to make sure we're still delivering our once-in-a-generational infrastructure investment, but at the same time manage the state's finances responsibly. And yesterday's budget shows exactly that as we chart a path back to surplus to set us up for a stronger and brighter future.
All right. Look, really appreciate your time this morning. I know you're an avid cricket follower. Disappointed about the Aussies losing the one-day international series to Sri Lanka?
Richard, you wouldn't believe this. I've been so wrapped up in the budget, I didn't even see it. So I've just heard it here first on your program. But yes, very disappointed, but we'll be back.
All right.
The boys are looking good, and the women's team are also absolutely smashing it at the moment. So exciting times ahead for Australian cricket.
And you're tipping New South Wales to win State of Origin 2 on Sunday.
Oh, mate, I hope so. But I tipped them last time, so that might be the kiss of death, me backing them.
All right. Thanks for your time. I know you've got a busy day up, but much appreciate your time this morning, Treasurer.
Good on you, Richard. Thank you for having me.
New South Wales Treasurer Matt Keane.